Receive a blessing from the message. You would take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we'll be looking at verses 19 and 20. If your Bibles, I want you to look there with me. I'll read those and then we'll give an introduction by going back to chapter 2 and also verse number 3. The other thing, somebody said, well, one thing about it, I had plenty of time to study this week. Couldn't do much else. After I got off the oxycodone, I didn't do too good with that. I couldn't think straight, but I got off that Thursday. And thank the Lord, and this is praise to Him. I haven't taken anything since Thursday, not even Tylenol. And so I'm grateful to God's blessings, and I'm grateful to be here. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number, 19 and 20, all right? He said, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our Father, we thank you for this day. I do thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I do pray now that you would help me as I stand here or as I sit and preach today. Lord, I pray that you give me the wisdom, the strength, the help I need. And Father, I pray that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified today. Lord, I pray that nothing that I do would be a distraction, but Lord, that the Word of God may come across clear and powerful and sharper than your two-edged sword. Lord, I ask now that you would guide and direct in all we say, do, and think. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Before us, I believe, is one of the most profound texts that you'll find in the Word of God. He said, "For what know you not that For what know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price." When you got up this morning, obviously it'd be a wonderful thing if you're able to get up in the morning and say, "I don't owe anybody anything." And basically, there are some folks that can say that financially wise, say, "I don't owe anybody anything." But when you get up and take a breath every day, you must understand that you do have a debt to someone, and that would be God. Especially if God has saved you and given you eternal life, then today you ought to thank God for that and be grateful for what He's done. And yet today, I believe so many times we think that we're our own. We do our own thing. We go our own way. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the Bible speaks of three different men. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but I do want to give you a little bit of a heads up about what it says. There's three type people that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and also in chapter 3. First of all, there's what's called the natural man. The natural man is exactly what it says he is. He is without Christ. He's lost. He lives his way the way he wants to. He goes about doing the things he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. And literally, he's not concerned about what anybody else thinks because he's his own man. And I say today, that's a sad state to be in today, to be without Christ, to be lost and on your way to a devil's hell. But yet, many people today fall into that category of being a natural man. The second man that we find is known as the spiritual man. He's the man, and I hope that's where you are today, is somebody that's been saved by the grace of God. You're on your way to heaven. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved by grace and that God has saved you and given you eternal life. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You walk with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit every day that you live, trying to do what the Spirit of the Lord would lead you to do. And you read your Bible, I hope, and you pray. If you're a spiritual man, you do. You do all the things that God's commanded us to do according to the Word of God. And it's interesting that we realize that and understand it. And then the third man, he's kind of a strange man. He's referred to as a carnal man. Now, the carnal man is a man that has accepted Christ as his Savior. He's a man that's been saved by the grace of God. He has receive the Holy Spirit of God, because when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God. If he died today, he would go to heaven, because the Bible said, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you and give you eternal life. But yet he does not read his Bible. He does not pray. He does not seek the will of God. He does not seek to walk in the Spirit of God. He does not seek to do the things which God would have him to do. I would say today that that man is a strange man because he's not doing what Christ intended for us to do after we got saved and born again by the Spirit of God. And yet I'd venture to say today that That's not something that's abnormal. I believe today, unfortunately, that the carnal man would describe today the majority of normal Christians. People that are saved by the grace of God, but literally they go about every day doing their own thing without any realization or understanding that they're not their own. They're bought with a price. And therefore, the Bible said we're to glorify God in our bodies, which is His. I would describe the message today as destroying carnality, because that's what I believe we ought to be doing in our churches. The Bible said when we get saved that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe today how sad it is to get saved, to live for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and not be any further along in your spiritual life than you were the day you got saved. That describes a carnal man. And yet today I do not believe that the carnal man can bring honor and glory to God. I do not believe God can be lifted up as He should be according to God's Word when we live a life of carnality. And so today I want to share with you what I feel, how we can get rid of the carnality in our life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and all our soul. First of all today, let me just say to you today that it's important to understand we're gathered here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Then in the Bible, He says that we're to glorify God. Now, that's part of the latter part of my message, and we'll get to that in a minute. But today, I'm not here to please men. I'm here to please God. I want to preach in a way today that I pray somebody could get blessed by the message of the preaching of the Word of God. If you're here and you're lost, I pray you'll get saved. And if you're here and you're saved and you're carnal, I pray you'll walk out of here desiring to be the spiritual man or woman that you need to be, serving God and being faithful to Him. The first thing I want you to notice today, if you're going to destroy the carnality in your life, is be aware of the Savior's purchase for us. Be aware of the Savior's purchase for us. I wish today if there was some way that I could get people to heaven, you know, just by buying or giving money or whatever. Wouldn't it be something if all our mission money guaranteed that everybody would go to heaven? Oh, it would seem to be good, but that's not the way God intended for it to be. One day God looked down upon this old sinful earth and He saw that men were deceitful and sinful, going about in their own way, doing their own thing, ignoring His way. You remember He sent the flood and destroyed the earth. And yet again, men began to multiply and the earth began to replenish. But yet it seems people still continue to turn away from God instead of turning to God. But today, I want you to understand today, there's a price that has been paid. And you better be aware of the price. You say, well, I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to pray. Friend, I'll tell you what, I need the Bible and I need prayer today more than I ever have in my life. I'm grateful today, and I tell you, I'm so thankful. Last week, and we lost Brother Roscoe, and I'm not thankful we lost him, but I'm thankful I know where he's at. And I'm grateful for the good service we had. And I've gotten phone calls and I've gotten letters from people that express their appreciation to the church for what you did and for the message that was given and the things that were said. And friend, I'm telling you today, we need to be an example to people in this world that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God. We're on our way to heaven today because Jesus Christ paid a price. I tell you, sometimes we get to the point in our life to where it doesn't take much to buy what we want. Now, there's a lot of things, perhaps, maybe they get beyond reach. But a lot of times in life in general, not everybody, and understand that, but, you know, some people have plenty of money. You look at the politicians that are running, and they'll let you know they can pretty much buy anything. I think of the speaker that we have, the radio preacher, or he ain't a preacher, Rush Limbaugh, he's no preacher, okay? But he's a conservative speaker. I heard him say numerous times, I got all the money I need. I don't need insurance. I can buy what I want. He just found out he's got cancer. And I tell you, money will not buy the cure for that cancer. We pray to God that He'll touch his body, and we're always grateful when God provides the person's need in their life. But friend, I'm telling you, we were purchased with the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed every drop of blood, every ounce of blood on the cross of Calvary, till nothing came forth but water and blood. I want you to think about the anticipation of the suffering of Calvary. Friend, just one thing to think about is the anticipation of an event. This week I had an event take place in my life. I had surgery, and I was in great anticipation. In fact, the week before, I seriously considered canceling it. I did not want what I'm having to go through now, but I came to the conclusion if I was going to get it, I was going to have it done. I was not excited on Tuesday morning when I got up at 5:30 and left the house and headed to Tallahassee, Florida. I was not excited when they rolled me into an operating room and told me to breathe two deep breaths, and that's all I remember. I wasn't too excited. But up until that point, there was great anticipation. Do you understand? Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He knew that he was going to go to the cross of Calvary from day one because he was God. And he had to anticipate that. You come today and take a young man in this building, anybody, and say he's 16 years old, and you come and say, young man, I just want you to know that you have cancer or there's something wrong with you, and you're going to die in 5 months, you're going to die in 6 months, or you're going to die in 5 years, or even 10 years. Can you imagine what it would be like to live with the anticipation that you were going to have to die at a certain period of time? Now, we all know that where it's appointed in a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. We don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know where, but we know that we all will die. But I don't worry about it. I don't know when it'll happen, and it'll happen, I hope, quickly. But when it does happen, I'm going to be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ purchased your salvation for you to go to heaven. But yet he knew that he was going to have to suffer and bleed and die in order that he might do that thing. And yet he lived that way his entire life. He said in Psalm 88:15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth. From his youth, Jesus Christ faced the bloody Calvary. If you took, as I mentioned already, you took somebody and told them that, in 1 John chapter 18, verse 37, he said, for this cause came I into the world. Anticipation is not really a good thing unless it's something good that's going to happen. Nobody likes to think about bad things. I remember going to church and getting in trouble as a little boy. My daddy was Sunday school superintendent. My teachers had no problem in taking me to the Sunday school superintendent's office. Daddy said, you're going to get a whipping when you get home. He might as well just put earplugs in my ears because I hadn't heard nothing else the rest of the day. All I could think about was when I got home. But yet what Jesus suffered was far worse than that. He had the anticipation of knowing that he was going to go to the cross. He was going to suffer. He was going to bleed and he was going to die in order that we might have eternal life. Jesus Christ lived in the shadow of the cross. His whole life was in the shadow of the cross. He was a carpenter, you remember. Think about the beams that he handled and all the things that perhaps he built or he made. Do you not think that they were reminders of one day? Listen, Jesus knows everything. He knew the details way before we even knew them. And listen, he knew them even before they were printed in the Word of God. Yet every day he dealt with that wood knowing that one day he would be nailed to an old rugged tree. There was an artist that painted a picture of him one day in the carpenter shop. And literally as he was standing there in the background, there was all kind of beams and there was all kind of woodwork. There was all kind of things. But in the background on the wall, there was an old rugged cross in the shadows there. And it was called In the Shadows of the Cross. Friend, today I tell you today, Jesus suffered. And I want you to know he went through a mock trial. Somebody talks about fairness. There was nothing fair about his trial. But I tell you what, it was all about the Father's will. The second thing, I must move on, was not only the anticipation of Calvary, but it was the suffering of Calvary. I wish this morning that I could some way describe. I've said it all along. I wish there was a way that I could describe to you the death of Christ. I wish somehow that I could invite you to the cross this morning and see Jesus hanging on that cross and bleeding and being crowned with a crown of thorns and his side being pierced and him literally giving his life in order that we might have salvation. Would it not change your thoughts? Would it not change your being to understand today that you're not your own? Jesus Christ died. He suffered. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. And yet he said not a word because he wanted to give unto you and to me eternal life. I like the song, Blessed Redeemer, Precious Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Friend, there was the anticipation of the cross. There was the suffering of the cross. But then there was the physical suffering of the cross. But then there was the spiritual suffering of the cross. You said, what do you mean? Well, think with me. I could preach a long time on any of these things. And I've got to move because I got a lot of material. Like I said, I had plenty of time to say this week. But I'm telling you, what I want you to understand is Jesus had to anticipate it. Jesus had to suffer it physically, and then spiritual suffering that he endured. You see, his greatest suffering, I don't believe, was his physical suffering. It was his spiritual suffering. The day that Jesus hung on the cross, the heavens darkened. There was total darkness. The sun veiled itself. He had been forsaken. He was forsaken by his friends. He was crucified by his enemies. And yes, even God the Father, his heavenly Father, had to turn his back on him as he cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, had God not turned aside and turned away, there's no way that Jesus could have died and took our sin. But yet, being forsaken, I tell you today, there's no more loneliness in the world than being forsaken by somebody or anybody. This isn't part of the message, but it just popped in my head, and I think you need to hear it, especially young people. And there may be some in junior church, but this week I had the news on. I saw a little boy from Australia. Looked like he was about 3 or 4 years old, but he was 9 years old. He could talk and act just like we did. And his mother videoed him as he sat in a stroller, crying and saying, I wish I could die. And she said, he has dwarfism. And his mother took that picture and said, this is what it's like to bully children that have some type of deformity or some type of being. And yet, I saw that and it broke my heart. And I tell you, young people today, and again, like I said, this is out of the blue. But I tell you, you have no right. You better thank God for every physical ability you have. And you better be friends with those that are less fortunate than you are. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, he was the one that was scourged. He was the one that was mocked. He was the one that took the crown of thorns. He was the one that died. He purchased my salvation. Why? For me to live a carnal life? No, for me to live a spiritual life. To love the Word of God. To love the house of God. To pray to God. To seek God's will in my life. King David suffered loneliness. You remember when he was running from Saul? He said he was running from him and having to go through it. And I believe he knew what he was talking about in Psalm 23:3. When he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus knew what it was like. For he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken thee? I can't imagine what it's like to be forsaken by anybody. But I can't imagine being forsaken by your family or by your friends, the ones that have stood. I'm simply saying this morning, if you're going to destroy carnality in your life, you better be aware of the purchase the Savior made for you when he died on the cross. Friend, I tell you, this ain't a game. This is not a social circle. This is not a time to come together to make ourselves feel good. It's a time to come and draw closer to Christ in order that we might be obedient to Him. The second thing, and I must move quickly, we must be awakened by the Spirit's presence in us. Notice back, if you would, in verse number 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of God, which is in you, a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're bought with a price. Therefore, you're bought with a, verse 20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When a person gets saved, something strange happens. It's not strange, but it's unusual. When I got saved, the Spirit of God moved in and took up residence in my heart. That was over 60 years ago. In fact, yeah, it was not quite 60 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, He's been with me ever since. And He promised He'd never leave nor forsake me. So here we are. We go through life living the carnal Christian. We do just as little as we have to do. We don't want to be bothered by anything that goes on. We don't want to be bothered in trying to reach other people. We don't want to be bothered with any of the services or anything that we do at church. We've got our own life, and we're going to live it. And many times people will tell you, hey, I've got things I got to do before I put church before that. Friend, I'm not asking you to put church before anything. I'm asking you to put Christ before everything. And when you put Christ before everything, it'll make a difference in the way you view church. Someone has well said in the Old Testament, or said the Old Testament was a rejection of the God the Father. But the sin of the New Testament time in the Gospels is the time when the Bible was written, but many today have rejected God the Father. But I'm telling you today, if you're saved, listen to me today. Only you know whether you're saved or not. I don't. I can't read minds. I'm not a psychic. But I'm going to tell you, I believe if you're saved, you'll know when you got saved. You may not know the day, the hour, or the time, but I believe you'll remember the time when you prayed, confessed, and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. The first thing I want you to notice, and I've got a bunch of points, and I've got to go through them quickly, the Holy Spirit is the substance of our life. For you see, the Bible said we've been bought with a price. We need to understand today that the Holy Spirit is the substance of your life, just as the blood is the substance of our life. Without the blood, we would die. Many times people get stabbed or shot or whatever, and they say, we could have saved him, but he bled out. When the blood is gone, life is gone as we know it. But when you get saved, the Spirit is the substance of our life. People said, I can't live for Christ. I can't do what Christ wants me to do. I can't do that. I don't have that ability. Listen to me. You have the ability of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling your body. And you can do whatever God wills you to do. If you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Somebody said your religion is a crutch. I say to them, you're wrong, mister. My religion is an iron lung. It's the very breath I breathe every day. It's all that gets me through anything that I do or anything I go through. And even though we may sometimes say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that God is with us in all that we do. The Holy Spirit is not only the substance of our life, but the Holy Spirit is the strength of our service. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to tell you something today. If you don't know you're saved, and I don't mean this ugly, but you're wasting your breath if you're out trying to win people to Christ, because we don't win people to Christ because of how talented we are, or how oratorio we are, or how good we are at the Scriptures. We lead people to Christ when the Spirit of God that indwells us works in and through them to draw them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday was a great preacher. They said that he would take his sermon notes every time he preached, and he would lay them on Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach. Friend, I'm telling you, no wonder God blessed him. No wonder God blessed Billy Sunday when he stood and preached to the thousands of people. No wonder God blessed people like Charles Spurgeon that I've been reading about. And I'm grateful today that God has touched their lives and filled them with the Spirit. But without Him, we can do nothing. Somebody said, a fellow named Stuart Briscoe, I read, he said that there are four stages in the Christian life. He said the first stage is after you get saved. He said, man, this is easy. After a while, he starts reading the demands of discipleship. He feels the onslaughts of the devil, and he said, boy, this is hard. Then he goes a little bit further, and he comes to the third stage. He said, this is impossible. Nobody can do this. Then he discovers the dynamic that God has put in him, the power of God, and he says, this is glorious. This is glorious. This is glorious. Where are you this morning? Are you saying, man, it's easy? Are you saying, man, it's hard? Or are you saying today, listen, it's impossible, but by the Spirit of God, all things are possible. We trust Him. The Holy Spirit is the secret for Christian victory. I'm telling you today, I'm not against getting help. I think people need to get help in areas they need to get help in. But friend, I don't believe there's no greater help than the Holy Spirit of God. I don't believe there's no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit of God. I'm grateful that I was able to go to college. I was grateful to sit under some men that were filled with the Spirit of God and teach me the truth. But friend, they taught me nothing that the Holy Spirit of God cannot teach me in and through itself, if I yield to God's Spirit. I think today the Bible says what it means and means what it says. Greater is He that's in thee than he that's in the world. Somebody asked a little girl one time, said, now that you're saved, what are you going to do when the devil comes knocking on your door? She gave a classic answer. She said, I'm going to ask Jesus to answer the door. I tell you today, that'd be the best thing to do in your life, is to put your faith and trust in Him, because victory is in Jesus, in His Spirit, in serving Him. Friend, I'm not, listen to me, you cannot have victory in your Christian life living the carnal life. You cannot, if you do not understand, Jesus saved you, and He saved you for a purpose and a reason, and you need to be selling out and giving your all to Him in every area of your life. The Holy Spirit is the source of Christian knowledge. The Bible said we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, many times we use that at a funeral service, but I tell you, God has revealed them unto us today by the Spirit of God, our Savior. Next, we see the Holy Spirit is the sustainer of the Christian faith. Brother Justin, that sounds funny, don't it, for me. My son Justin, okay, he preached Wednesday night. He preached on John the Baptist, doubting Christ. Imagine that. But yet he gave the illustration. And friend, today, listen, the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. But I want you to know tonight, this morning, it's very possible for us to doubt our faith. And we need to be aware of that. But the Holy Spirit is the sustainer. It's the Holy Spirit that gets us through hard times. No matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, God is there. We stand and sing, Jesus is all the world to me, faith of our fathers, and we will be true to thee till death. I wonder if we really mean it. I tell you today, sometimes we don't need much church, just a service every now and then, just enough to get by. But I tell you today, I don't believe we could ever get enough of church. I don't believe we could ever get enough of the Word of God. I believe God wants us to grow and listen, that we could listen, go back, think about it, His purchase. What He gave for me, I owe Him everything. All of my life. And I think today what Christ has done. Be aware of the Savior's purchase for you. Be awakened to the Spirit's presence in you. But here's the last part, and I'll go through it quickly. Be available for the Father's purpose in your life. Friend, God did not save us to have a social club, country club, or just get together once a week so we could see each other. God saved us to represent Him upon this earth while He is back in heaven, as seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. You see, the way to get rid of carnality is to find your purpose. I hear people all the time, psychiatrists, teachers, young people, find your purpose. Friend, I can tell you what your purpose is. Now, I realize everybody's purpose may be different in areas, but friend, it's God's purpose. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, Jesus came to save you. And I believe today, if you'll give Him your life, I believe today that He would use you in a mighty way. I don't believe anybody in this building today would like to go out of here saying, I sure don't want to hear the Lord say when I get to heaven, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I hear people pray that all the time. Lord, I hope when I get to heaven, I hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you're a carnal Christian, I don't believe the Lord would be able to say that because you've neglected the very things that He gave His life for, the Spirit that He gave to indwell us, and the purpose that He has in our life. Somebody gave this formula of being filled with the Spirit. But there's only one formula for being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is single-minded. Somebody said, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit that I might be a great preacher. God says, I'm not interested. Some said, well, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit so I can serve humanity. God says, I'm not interested. I say, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit so I can understand your word. God said, I'm not interested. Oh, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit so that I can pray better. God says, I'm not interested. Oh, God, I want my life or by death, but you be glorified in me. God says, I'm interested, because when God is glorified in you, all those other things will take care of themselves. You'll read your Bible, you'll pray, you'll help humanity, and you'll do all you can to win everybody you can to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want Jesus to be glorified in my life. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Friend, this morning, and I hear people, and Brother David especially, pray it when he prays often. Some of you do too. Hide Brother Gary behind the cross. Friend, I tell you what, if there's some way I could just soon sit in the fellowship hall, I'm not here today for you to see me. I'm here today for you to see him. And I want to glorify him in everything that I say and do and think. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What will destroy carnality? Be aware of the price paid for you. Be awakened to the presence that indwells you. And be available for the purpose of God to work in through it. God is not content. God today desires that His name be glorified and lifted up in all things. I want you to know today, carnality needs to be destroyed. I pray today that you're a spiritual man. But if you're a natural man, you need to be saved. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you something, life is short. It's unexpected. I mentioned somebody the other day, I've had 3 funerals this year. I'm way ahead of schedule. I hope I don't have any more anytime soon. But friend, only God knows when one of us will slip into eternity. I can't do nothing about that, but I can sure do something about the way I live and how I try to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, today, let's destroy the word carnality among our flock. And let's accept the word spiritual. Not that we're putting ourselves on a pedestal. Not that we're trying to be something we're not. But simply because we're aware of the presence of God, the purchase of the price He paid, and the purpose that He has in our life. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the